Revolutionary
Gospel
News. How you guys doing today out there? Coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Arthur Joseph Smith, the writer of The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, The Caliphate, The Rise of the Islamic Nation, and The Temple Mount. You can get all those books at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble Books A Million. All right, how y'all doing today? Today has been a very interesting day, and I've been talking to you guys about the difference between Moses and Jesus. You know, the heading of the little text I had this with Moses and Jesus says 1 Corinthians. It says 1 Corinthians 10 and 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant of how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and was all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. I was looking at that between the difference, the contrast between Jesus and Moses. Okay, Moses, actuality, in all actuality, when they talk about being baptized unto Moses, which I've actually learned lately that it really is reference to being brought under the authority. So when a person is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you're being brought under the authority of Christ. We know that Moses was from the tribe of Levi. And that was the law. It was the ceremonial laws. It was the Levitical priesthood. This was the first contract God had made with Moses, you know, the Old Testament. It was all under those ceremonial laws. Those ceremonial laws had to be obeyed, the washing of cups, the sacrificing of animals. Then it changed. The covenant changed and went up under the tribe of Judah. And the tribe of Judah is because Jesus come out of Judah, so the priesthood changed in a sense because it was no longer under Levitical priesthood, but it was now under the tribe of Judah and under Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, so all that were baptized, and so when you're looking at baptism, because Jesus told you in John 3 and 5, it said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, he said you cannot enter into, so you will not be able to get in. And then Acts 2:38, on the very beginning of the church of God, where it started at, it was Acts 2:38, which is to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Okay, so we have been brought under the authority of Jesus. That's something I was looking at, and I've seen that in that scripture where that you know when you're baptized, we're under our King, Jesus. And to me, I was looking at people who get into politics. A lot of people out there be talking about their patriots and all that. But my question to those out there, and, you know, my phone lines, I'll give you my number in a second, but my question to people is if you're baptized and you're under the authority of Jesus, how are you participating? I know some people say voting rights. They're going to go, oh, voting rights. Black people fought for them. You know, you black and all that. But if we have submitted ourselves to Jesus, what do we really have to do with this political system? See, Jesus was talking about a kingdom to come. That's where he was at. He was telling them that his father had brought him here for a kingdom. Caller 1, I see there's a call out there, 601. Okay. I've seen a call. I was trying to pick up this line and see if it would come up. Okay, something happened there. I guess not. They're not letting me. Let me see. Okay. Hello, caller 1, 601-434-1671. You had a question or a comment you want to make? Hello? Okay, I guess they don't have a statement to make. They're not answering. Okay. Well, bottom line, I just saying, so you see that you've been brought in authority. So we were not here participating in politics as if that was going to change what is going on in our world, people. That's not going to change nothing. Okay. So when we're looking at that, we're looking at it and we're thinking that We're going to make a difference. But how are you going to make a difference when you have submitted yourself to Christ? You've been brought under the authority of Christ. He is your commander-in-chief, not Obama. And we're waiting for our kingdom to come. You know, so how is this that we run out here and we are afraid to say anything? You know, we want to be politically correct and we don't want to offend nobody. And we talk about we patriots, but then we've been baptized in Jesus' name. And our kingdom is not of this world. We're supposed to be living here as pilgrims. In the church building itself, we're a place where we gather together, because if you look at chapters Luke 17, which I'm going to right now, people, in Luke 17, it tells you something about the kingdom of God. It tells you something, because the people get caught up in the word ecclesia, you know, the church. And they don't understand that really what they've done is not that. It's like we're being trained there. We're being trained how to conduct ourselves and how to live in the kingdom that is yet to come. Okay? So when we sit up there in these churches, we're missing the point of church in itself really needs to be redefined, because people then took it out of content and it doesn't look like what it was supposed to look like. The church was a place where we were learning to live in the kingdom of God. And while we were still here on this earth. Okay? And a lot of people get in there, and I like to know, what do people really think, you know, the kingdom of the church is? You know, because it kind of confused me how people view, or the distorted view that has been given of the church. And anybody want to make a comment? Once again, my number is 737-897-6105. Once again, the number is 737-897-6105. Okay. So here we find out something about what Jesus was talking about. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observance. Neither shall thou say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Okay? So he told us that it was going to come without observance. And the difference between Moses is at that time, everybody was under the Old Testament. So we're no longer under the authority of Moses, but we're under the authority of Jesus now. So that no longer, that's why it said that he would not have us ignorant, that all those who passed through the cloth, that was at that time. Now all of those who are baptized unto Jesus Christ, we have become heirs with him, and we're under his authority, the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. And chapter 2 of Acts, it said the kingdom of God comes without observance. Okay, I'm sorry, people. There's a timer there. I forgot to turn off. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire." Okay, notice that. It came in as a rushing mighty one. It came in without observance. They were one accord. In other words, they were one state of mind, probably praising and praying to God, and the Holy Ghost came in. The king, that was a representation of his kingdom. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." See that? The Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come. "And began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when they heard this, when this was noise abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language." And in other words, they were not peeping and muttering, as Isaiah brings out as that, as called person teaching at wizards. You see today, people talk about they have the Holy Ghost and they go, or that. I'm just going shup, shup, shup. That is witchcraft, people. They were hearing an audible sound, a language that they all could understand. It was not the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was because there's a gift that comes, and there's different gifts that comes with the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Ghost initially came, they were praising the name of Jesus, showing that his name has been exalted. They were crying out aloud about what Jesus had done. You know, they weren't in some unknown tongue. Isaiah 12 tells you that. It lets you know that in that day, when that time had come, that's the proof of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't they sitting up there in some unknown tongue and everybody came together and was confounded. They were confounded because these men were doing this. Now, this, look what it says. This is Isaiah 4, chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, in that day, okay? Okay, hold on. Verse 2, actually. It says, behold, God, and this is Isaiah 12 and 2, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation, my deliverer. Therefore, with joy, with happiness, not sadness, shall ye draw water, talking about the Holy Ghost, out of the well of salvation. Okay? It says, in that day shall they say, praise the Lord, calling. If you look up that word, it'll tell you crying out, proclaiming, calling, that's how I know, upon his name, declaring the doings amongst the people, making mention that his name has been exalted. That's what was happening on the day of Pentecost. It's prophetic in nature, but it shows you what really happened. It wasn't an unknown tongue. They were calling out, making known that the name of Jesus has been highly exalted. And the kingdom of God had come. His salvation has arrived upon the earth. And so men seeing that happen, so we were all brought under the authority of Jesus. His testament, the New Testament, had begun. That new contract had started. And you see here what happened. That is at the same time that the devil and his army, his defeated army, was cast down. And how I know that is because it tells you in the Bible, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived. He's in the process of this. The whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. His defeated army had been vanquished to the earth. They had no place no more in heaven, nor could they go into the heavens anymore. So they were cast down here to earth to be amongst us, to live here in the defeated army. At the same time as he was being defeated in the heavens, God, as God through his son, of course, had established the kingdom of God down here. He set it up because he's gonna be totally annihilated. Lucifer days is counting down. He knows this. So why would I say he was gonna be completely annihilated? Because what happened when he was cast out? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation." When did salvation come? But on the day of Pentecost. Okay. So you see that in his strength. That was the Holy Ghost and the kingdom of our God. What did it say? It says it comes without observing. It said you shouldn't say lo here or lo there, as it says in Luke, but the kingdom of God shall be in you. So all these people on that day that became a part of the kingdom of God when it came down on the day of Pentecost. That's why I say the church needs to be redefined when they talk about church. I said, what are you talking about? You know, what is this place to you? This place is where I'm being educated on how to live in the kingdom of God. I'm now a part of the kingdom of God. But they've made the church something totally different. You know, they made it a place or the building, because that's what they consider to be the church. They don't understand that it's the kingdom of God. It's where all of us of the kingdom of God gather together to learn and encourage one another, you know, to build one another up. That's what the ministry is about, to edify one another, to teach you what you need to know, how to recreate the mind. The mind is being recreated. That's what that place is for when we come together in that building. But when we come together, we're coming together as a nation. You see, the kingdom of God. See, church has lost its true meaning. That's why I say it needs to be redefined. and understand for people to understand. You're coming together as a nation. We are a kingdom. We're learning how to live in the kingdom of God. You know, we're learning, you know, we're learning what is not correct according to his principle, his rules. You know, that's what we're learning. We're not, it's not like the other stuff that people be doing in church or these buildings that they call church. So you find out the strength of his kingdom has come, of God's kingdom, in the power of his Christ, you know, to recreate us. For our accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by water baptism in Jesus' name. Because when you say by the life Christ gave, because when you say, why I say the blood of the Lamb represents water baptism in Jesus' name, because it said he has washed us according to Revelations 1 and 5. He has washed us from our sins in his own blood by the life he gave. Well, where is that applied? But in Acts 2:38. That's where you have the remission of sins. When somebody is standing over you saying, and I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins. And then he says, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Really, you shall become a part of the kingdom of God. Because when the Holy Ghost comes, now you're a part of the kingdom of God. Okay? And I thank the Lord for that understanding. That's really what it's saying. You shall become a part of the kingdom of God. Because when the Holy Ghost comes, now you're a part of that kingdom. And he says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And he, okay, I read, I'm sorry, I didn't backtrack them. So he said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So therefore, rejoice ye heavens. In other words, heavens be glad he's vanquished. Satan is now kicked out and all this evil and this garbage that he's been bringing. And he said, and yea, they that dwell on, that dwell in them, so they should be happy. He said, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. He's angry because he knows that he has but a short time before his end is up on him. And the funny thing about God is after he kicked him out, during that process as he was being cast to the earth, he established his kingdom down here also. So that means we're not going to be at war because he comes down, he has great wrath, he's angry. And so he's seeking of us, the us that are of the kingdom of God, he's going to seek kill us. That's where you get into the mark of the beast, the false prophet, because we are under the authority of Jesus. When they're going to come about and establish a cashless society, as your Pope is doing, and then your Pope is going to introduce the Antichrist to you, who's sitting in the Middle East right now. And as they try to establish the Caliphate, you know, that's another book I wrote about it. That's the Caliphate, the rise of the Islamic nation in the Temple Mount, because he will sit in the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, ruling the world for 3.5 years. That's all he has. When he's made known to the population, the world, he has 3.5 years before the Antichrist, the embodiment of Satan, is finished. And we take the kingdom from them. For our kingdom has already been established as a spiritual kingdom right now. So when you come together, they're missing what ecclesia really means. It means the kingdom of God is coming together. We're joining to have fellowship, to rejoice and pray, to build one another up, so that we can be strong enough to withstand the time, to encourage one another living in the world, because it's like we're behind enemy lines right now. And that's what it's really like. We're behind enemy lines. We're living amongst the wicked. We're living amongst the ungodly right now. And our kingdom is coming, but before our kingdom can come, all these other things must come to pass. But yet, we're under the authority of Jesus, so we're not going to be cut off from him. The rest of the world is not going to, they're going to end up being cut off because they're going to go up under the Antichrist. As he said in John, he says, another shall come in his own name, him shall you receive. And he was talking about the true Israelites at that time, because we weren't where we are today, because the people in Israel really do not belong there. And that's another discussion in itself. Okay. But people, it's time to get ready because the judgment of God is up on this world. And all of us who have received the Spirit are a part of the kingdom of God. It's just a matter of us being patient and getting the word in us like we're supposed to, dedicating ourselves to what is important. I see people making a lot of dedications, but not to what that which is important. They're taking care of their natural, but they're not taking care of their spiritual need. You know, they physically, you know, they have economics, but spiritually they broke. They don't have what they need. It says Romans 8 and 8. It says, so then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. Okay? It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see what I'm saying? You have no part. And so many churches people go to, they don't even tell them that is a requirement. They don't tell them, people talking about they out here witnessing for God and doing the work of God, but yet they have never been born again. How are you going to do something that you have no part in? How are you going to bring a message and it be correct and God is not communicating to your mind because you don't have the Spirit of God? How is this possible? And this is Acts 19. It said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you become a part of the kingdom of God since you believe? Have you received the Spirit of God? Are you a part of us? That's what he's asking them. And look at what they say. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We don't even know that we need the Spirit of God in us to be a part of his kingdom. We're not aware of this. Our preacher has not told us. How many of you guys go to church faithfully and paying these crooks up here, and they're not even born again? Okay, I know some of you, that's my pastor. Is he really? Have he told you you need to be born again? According to the scriptures, not a religious experience. According to what the Bible says, they told you that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, or do you have you still walking around in your sins, thinking you're saved, and you're wondering why life is not changing for you? The condition of your mind is the same the day you stepped in there as the day. There has been no change in your character. You're still participating in things you've been participating in. You know, have he told you? Have he told you you have to have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to be a part of the kingdom of God? Because that is the kingdom of God within you, making you a part, making you a joint heir with Christ. You know, has he told you that? And so we have so many people out there, and all these people going to end up in a line of I never knew you, talking about they're doing God's work. I like to know how, when you're not a part of our kingdom. You know, how do you end up being, how are you a part? It said, look at this. And see all these big organizations, great numbers. They say, so we got to be the people. But what the Bible teaches us about great numbers? It says, this is Matthew 7. So enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that goeth in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few. Okay, now notice I said many. The other one said leadeth to destruction. Many ways to go to destruction. Many different false religions to join. But it says the gate is broad, but because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. A few. Okay, but many. All these big organizations. That would be contrary to the scripture because it says many shall come in my name and shall deceive, mislead many. How many of you out there are being misled? How many of you don't realize you're not under the authority of Christ? You have never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You live in a lukewarm life if you have. You don't stand for nothing because the teachings are not right there. Now look at, here's Matthew 7:21. It says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Notice it says kingdom of heaven, not a church, but the kingdom. The condition is heaven. Heaven is where there's no sorrow, no pain, no death. You know, enjoy the Holy Ghost. You know, you're happy. Okay. So the kingdom. Okay. So he should say to them, but he said, but he that doeth the will of my Father, those that are obeying the scripture, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then he's going to go on and tell them, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that worketh iniquity, you're lawless. You never submitted to the scriptures. You have never been born again. You don't have my spirit. You was out there doing the work, but you was doing the work of Satan. Satan has a ministry, people. A lot of people don't know that. You look at chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, you'll find out that the devil himself has a ministry. And a lot of people don't recognize that. A lot of you guys are sitting in the ministries of Satan, under his ministers who have never been born again, who don't have the Holy Spirit, but they're teaching you error. They're using the Bible, can't put it together rightfully. They can't rightfully divide the word of God, misleading multitudes into death and making them think they're okay when none of them have been born again. The blood of Christ has never been applied to their life, nor have they been accepted into the kingdom, because acceptance into the kingdom is when you get the Holy Ghost. When you have the Holy Ghost, that means you are accepted into the kingdom. You are a part of the kingdom of God. You're a child of God now, for real. You don't just think and claim that. You know, and that's the beauty of it. That's how you know you're a part. You're not guessing and thinking you're a part of it. Okay? And that seems to be the problem today. The people have their opinions. Their opinions are too strong. You know, I feel this, I feel that. You know, that really gets me. What do you feel? You know, what do you actually feel? How do you feel anything? You know, and Carla, I see you back on the line, 601. If you there, okay, Carla, 601. You have anything to say? Hello? Okay, I guess they don't want to have nothing to say. All right. So anyway, I like I said, today I opened my phone lines, and you guys are more than welcome to call in. We're getting down to the last minute here. And I'd like to just let you guys know, you guys go out and get my books. It's been an interesting couple of days, people. Look like everything is every possible thing that can happen wrong has gone wrong. But God is good, and to God be the glory, y'all. I'm going to keep on coming on this radio and trying to encourage you guys and trying to wake your minds up to some of you out there, wake your minds up to what's really going on. We're living in the last time, people, and a lot of you guys weren't running out there, and some of you guys really believe, but just have not took the right steps, the necessary procedures to really be a saved person. And wherever you're at in the world, you need to find a place to baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, for the true born-again experience. People, they count me down, and once again, this is Arthur Joseph Smith, and also I'd like to let y'all know I am a licensed pastor. I just have not established a church per se. But you guys go out and get my book. It's called The Revival of the Roman Empire, and that's a vision that God blessed me with. That's Daniel's vision. I had understanding of that vision, so I wrote it. And that's The Revival of the Roman Empire. My second book is The Devil Workshop, and I just highlight what the true teachings of the church is for our kingdom, or kingdom of God. And the last book is called The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount. And that book, just telling you about the end of time, the Antichrist, as well as the false prophet, what is going on so far as ISIS, because ISIS is an ideology. And just, you know, kind of highlighting, you know, let you know, get yourself together. The Lord is on his way. He's soon to appear, and for real, in the sky, to usher in his actual physical kingdom. Okay, the spiritual kingdom is here now, but we're waiting on the physical arrival of Christ. I'd like to thank you guys for coming out to the show. Once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News. You guys have a great day.